Welcome to America Weekend, a new kind of radio because life doesn't stop on the weekends. That's Eddie Grant's Electric Avenue, which leads us right into a discussion here of electric cars, which my next guest says are coming down in price, and with government subsidies and unbelievable discounts from some of the manufacturers, are cheaper than they ever have been before. His name is Joe White. He is the senior editor from the Wall Street Journal and the guy who writes the Eyes on the Road column for the Journal. Hi, Joe. Welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, good to be here.
So how low are the prices on these cars now?
Well, it depends on what state you're in, because if you can combine the $7,500 federal tax credit with a state incentive, and some of them are pretty high. For instance, the state of Georgia offers $5,000 or up to $5,000 of a state incentive. And if you can get one of the cheap leases that Nissan and some of the other companies are offering on their electric cars, if you do the math, you can get the sort of the out-of-pocket price or the out-of-pocket cost for driving one of these cars for, say, 3 years down to pretty much zero.
Zero?
Yeah, if you factor in the savings in or the difference between filling up with gas, filling a conventional car up with gas, and then the cost of electricity to recharge your electric car. I talked to a fellow down in Georgia who figured it out, because that's, you know, he's one of the kinds of people who will do that, and he said he's actually putting money in his pocket when you factor in that $5,000 state level incentive. And in other states, there are incentives. I don't know if is that many as generous as that. But there are certainly incentives around, and the car, you know, Nissan and other electric car sellers will certainly help you try to find them.
And we are talking about cars like Nissan's Leaf and the Chevy Volt.
Right. The Volt doesn't get quite as big an incentive, but certainly you can get incentives for the Volt. All electric is where you get sort of the maximum. But the Volt is, you know, GM has been offering a discounted lease on the Volt, I think as low as $199 a month. The Leaf has been offered at $199 a month for several months now. And that's kind of that, you know, it's a cheap lease under any circumstances, but if you can get that number and the incentives, you're looking at a pretty cheap test drive, basically.
All right, let me ask you about a couple of things that people probably bring up a lot as reasons why they don't buy an electric car, even at these prices. Number one is, I want power. Do these things have power? Can they really accelerate and get up to the same speeds as gas vehicles?
Oh yeah. Now, I mean, the thing about an electric motor, and I'm not an engineer, okay, but I've certainly driven enough of these cars to know. The thing about an electric motor is that the torque or the pulling power, the sort of the accelerate from the stoplight power, is there right away. You don't have to wait for the engine to spin up to a certain speed or a certain RPM, and so you can absolutely feel like you're accelerating smartly away from a stoplight. You can move around somebody on the road. And there's nothing really wrong with driving a Leaf, which isn't the most powerful electric car, and there's certainly nothing wrong with driving a Tesla if you can afford that. Those things go like stink. So it isn't really power or acceleration that's the problem with an electric car. I think for most people, it's how far you can go on a charge.
How many electric cars are there in America?
Well, let me see now. I think there's probably about a half a dozen or so models out there if you count them all.
No, I mean, how many have been sold?
Oh, not very many. I don't know the exact number that's on the road, but Nissan sells fewer of its Leaf in a month than Ford sells F-150 pickup trucks in a day.
Wow.
That gives you a sense of the scale.
Yeah.
I don't have the number. It's probably a couple hundred thousand plus or minus of all electric cars, maybe fewer. If you throw in hybrids, that's a lot more, because we're not talking about this car, but the Toyota Prius has been out on market for quite a while now, and it sells pretty well at this point.
Yeah, my wife drives a hybrid, and first of all, she can't believe how quiet it is when it's just on the electric motor pulling out of the driveway, and secondly, she's amazed at the mileage that she's getting compared to her old car. But let's talk about another complaint that people might have about electric cars, which is, I don't have any place to plug it in besides my house. What if I end up someplace where I have no electricity left in the car?
That is a real problem. That has been a real problem. The promoters or the manufacturers of electric cars, pretty much all of them, certainly again, Nissan has put a lot of money down on this bet, and Tesla at the higher end are working to try to get more public charging or publicly accessible charging away from home. Some of your listeners may be aware that Elon Musk, the chief executive of Tesla, has been talking a lot lately about this network of superchargers that that's kind of his term for them, these fast charging stations that he wants to build. And he has built some already, and he wants to build enough of them that you could go from LA or San Francisco to New York without having to worry that your Tesla is going to run out of juice in the middle of the desert. That's a work in progress. Nissan, I know, is trying to work with companies and like grocery stores and things like that to try to get chargers installed at corporate campuses, office buildings, parking lots, shopping center parking lots, that kind of thing, so that people don't feel like they're that far away from a charger. But that's a work in progress, and I'd say that it's going to be a couple of years before people will feel, even in given areas, people might feel, well, you know what, there's a charger everywhere that I see a gas station, so I don't have to worry about this anymore.
Yeah, I read that in the last month or so, Tesla finally announced that it had turned a profit, and they're ramping up production, and they paid the government back on their big loan. So they're obviously turning the tide, but their cars are still $60,000, right?
At least. Yeah. I mean, I guess after you get done with all the incentives, it's probably a little less. But yes, Teslas are expensive cars, and they're for people who have the money and the means to afford them. I think that, and obviously they are doing well, but doing well for them right now is selling 20,000 cars a year. And again, to give scale, well, that's 20,000 cars a year. Ford sells 60,000 F-150s a month, or has done in the last several months. So It's still a niche, and the question is, what will it take to make it a mainstream, make driving an all-electric car a mainstream consumer choice? And it seems like a couple of things. One is that infrastructure, the charging. Second is somebody's got to figure out how to build a cheaper battery.
I'm curious about that infrastructure. You said that Musk wants to build for Tesla. Would that only be for Tesla vehicles, or could a Nissan Leaf pull up and plug in?
No, these fast chargers, the superchargers that Tesla is talking about, would be only for Teslas.
Oh, that's not good.
Well, it's good if you own a Tesla. but no, and again, I don't want to pretend that I am an engineering expert on these things, but rapidly charging and discharging an electric car battery takes a lot of technology, and if it's not done properly, you can really shorten the battery's life. So I know that there's a lot of work being done to speed up the recharging. Certainly, if you have a 220-volt charger at your house or see one on the street, you can plug that into a Leaf and get a faster charge. But the difference is 2 or 3 hours versus 7 or 8 hours for a regular charge. So we're not talking. Elon Musk wants to have it so that basically if you stop at a rest stop, plug your Tesla into that supercharger, went in, got a cup of coffee, and came back half an hour later, that your car would be ready to go for a significant number of miles. We're not there yet for the affordably priced car, something like the Leaf or a Honda Fit Electric or a Ford Focus Electric or something like that. That's work in progress.
Yeah, I can't imagine if there was a gas station that only filled up Toyotas, that would be good for anybody in the gas business or in the car business. But one more question I want to ask you. I would like your opinion on this, because this is not going to be possible without state mandates and government subsidies. And the question is, should the government be doing that, or should this be, we obviously have a market now where people aren't dying to get electric cars. Should we be underwriting this as taxpayers?
This is a serious question, and I suspect that it's going to get a fair amount of debate, particularly at the federal level, where you have a lot of pressure to cut the budget, and there's a lot of people who do argue that what's going on here is that the public, taxpayers around America are subsidizing a fairly affluent few who want electric cars and whose lifestyles allow them to use them without a lot of inconvenience. All I'll say is good question, and I wouldn't assume if I were marketing electric cars that these subsidies will be there forever, especially at a time when there's a lot of other public needs, starting with the highways that everybody uses that aren't getting funded. It's a legitimate issue.
Yep, and also, speaking of the highways, they got to figure out how to pay for fixing the infrastructure if we sell so many electric cars that the gas tax doesn't do anything anymore. So many questions to answer. Joe, I appreciate your time today. Thanks for joining me.
Anytime.
That's Joe White, senior editor at Wall Street Journal and the guy who writes the Eyes on the Road column. I'm Paul Harris, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Networks.